Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's this experience that I know is shared by other families like ours. At home, we're an ordinary, busy family, getting up, eating breakfast, getting kids off to school.
Was it me?
But when we're out, sometimes people stare at us. They look at our children, look at us and back again, and I wonder genuinely what it is they're looking at. And then I remember. Our children are different from us. They're from out foreign.
You got holes in those legs.
Is there a limit to how much this girl can eat this morning?
You a sleepover be my treat?
A sleepover? Yeah, you can do. So you have to earn five stars. At
Laurie's house.
At
whose house?
No, darling, if you have a sleepover, you have to invite people here. You can't invite yourself to other people's houses, darling.
My name is Jules Gilson. And I came to Ireland in 1996, and I met my husband Vittorio here in 2000. We have two adopted children from Guatemala, Natalie, aged 5, and Jacobo, aged 4.
I am Ansa Fest.
You've got a
vest on, haven't
you?
No, it's 30, Mom.
Is it? All right,
we live in a beautiful place, and it seemed to come to us without us trying to find it. After several years of traipsing around County Cork, looking for somewhere in the countryside we could call home, a friend telephoned and said they'd seen an ad in the Buy and Sell for a cottage by the sea. And so, in 2001, we drove to East Cork, down the road to Garryvaugh, and then left along the winding coast road that dips and twists in and out of a wide view of the sea. At the cottage, we met the New Age English couple who would eventually sell us their cottage without an auctioneer. The house was called Annam Cara, which translates as soul friend. And in my naivety, I presumed the house had been called this for generations. When it turned out that the English couple had given the cottage this name, we reeled a little. But the name stayed, part of the long history of this place. And it has been a soul friend to us, as we have come here from 3 countries to make our family in a 4th, Ireland.
But we get dressed quickly, did you get dressed to
put your shoes on. Can we all stuck together?
All stuck together.
I don't know.
So give you need to brush your hair. It's all over the place.
When we were on our honeymoon on one of the Aeolian Islands north of Sicily, I chose a beautiful Italian teapot from one of the potteries. I love this teapot. Every morning, my husband makes me a cup of green tea in it for breakfast. Visiting a friend in Cork recently, I admired her cupboard full of pottery with the same distinctive blue circles as my teapot, but hers were from Poland. Strange, I thought. When she visited and saw my teapot, she turned it over and found Poland printed on its base. And now I feel differently about my teapot. This is an odd prejudice for me to have, given the amount of countries represented around our kitchen table every day. England, Italy, Guatemala, and Ireland, where we live. And yet we are an ordinary, busy, happy, noisy family. But I still don't feel the same about that teapot.
Mmm. Mm. These are nice, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
Daddy, the milk is pink!
Oh, wow.
Look!
Pink milk!
Pink milk!
Can I have some?
Can I have some?
I'm Vittorio Bufacchi. I'm married to Jules. I'm the father of Natalie and Jacopo. Jules and I have been married 7 years, I think. I used to have a wedding ring with a date on it, which I lost. So I'm not always sure how long we've been married, but we've been together 10 years.
We've actually been married 8 years. We started trying to have a child after about 18 months, and when nothing happened, we had preliminary tests, but decided not to pursue fertility treatment. I didn't feel I could cope with IVF. And so Vittorio and I focused our energies instead on adoption.
From my point of view, I actually thought that adopting would in some ways be preferable to having my own birth child. And as I said, that was even before we really began the journey. The fact that we adopted from Guatemala, I'm probably responsible for that because I went to Guatemala a few times before I even met Jules. And the first time I went to Guatemala, I did something that I'd never done before. I had just finished a stint as a visiting professor at Yale, so I'd been all my life very much locked in ivory towers. And I went to Guatemala for 4 weeks, and I spent 2 weeks working in a kindergarten for street children. And that's in many ways the first time I was exposed to children and also exposed to Guatemalan children. And I think that kind of stayed with me. So when it became a reality that we were going to adopt, as far as I was concerned, there was only one place, and that was Guatemala.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley.
The process of being assessed for an international adoption is structured as a series of interviews by social workers, sometimes in the adoption department, sometimes in our home, sometimes together, and sometimes alone. We are always on our best behaviour at these meetings. The person interviewing us has the jaw-dropping power to decide whether or not we can become parents. We are asked about our childhood, our families, our relationship, and there isn't anywhere they don't go. It's a daunting and sometimes overwhelming experience. From the time we began the process of adopting our children until we received our son's European passport this year was a period of 9 years. It took 4 years to adopt Natalie, another 3 to adopt Jacobo, and 2 more before all his documents were finalised. We started our journey in 2001.
We weren't married yet.
No, we weren't married.
Yeah, we had been warned that it was going to take a long time.
Yeah.
So we get the ball rolling.
Yeah. So I remember making that phone call to the adoption board in 2001. And what a momentous moment it felt like. I think I was alone, but I just rang and all I did was ring and ask for that we were interested in international adoption and could they send us the form? And that was all. But I also remember just how huge it was just to do that. And then the next thing that I remember that was really hard is then we got the form back and we had to send in lots of documents. So that was 2001. We started our preparation course the following year or the year after?
I think throughout the whole process, which lasted 3.5 years from...
Four years from...
In the summer of 2004, this process ended when we received our declaration. This document meant that we'd been approved by the Irish government to adopt one child from Guatemala. It is the spring of 2005 before we receive a referral, which means a particular child is assigned to us, and we begin the process of adopting Natalie. A few years earlier, I sit under the pines at the bottom of our garden and begin an extended letter to my unknown daughter. For my 40th birthday, I am given a beautiful handmade book covered in mustard-coloured leather, and in this I write and write. I tell her we can't wait for her to come to us, that we yearn to be a family, that we long for a time when she will play here in this seaside garden. This morning, I've just dropped Natalie at the Educate Together school in Middleton, and then I drive the big loop back to Knockadoon and on to Busy Bees, where our son, Jacobo, is at Montessori.
OK, Jacobo. Again. One.
Two.
Jacobo.
Bond.
Bond. Because white and red together makes pink. Okay, who can remember what hat?
Me.
Start the same stick. No movement. Because if you move, you're out of the game. Okay? Right?
Yeah.
Jacobo loves the dancing part of musical statues, but is a bit rubbish at the staying still part.
Jacobo, up here beside me.
The year that we adopted our first child, Vittorio had a fellowship. This was a year off from teaching to do research for his next book, and it meant that we were apart for months at a time. In May of 2005, I flew to the United States to visit him for 2 weeks at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire.
I was in Dartmouth for a period of 10 weeks, and Jules came to visit for 2 weeks, two of those 10.
Yes, and I was just sitting in his apartment, and I saw him running down the road, down the hill, waving his arms, and he was supposed to be seeing students. And I opened the window and said, oh, what's the matter? And he kept flailing, coming up, and he ran up the stairs. And the adoption agency, had she rung you?
The phone rang, and I took the initial step to actually take the phone call in the presence of a student. Usually I would just let the phone ring. And it was the adoption agency to say, go and check your email, your daughter was born, her name is Natalie, and there is a photograph of her as an attachment. So I shared the moment of fatherhood with an undergraduate student.
You told him that, didn't you?
I told him that, and then I told him to leave, because I had better things to do. And I checked my email, and there was the photograph.
Oh, you didn't look at the photographs then? Because you came down to me and you hadn't looked at the photographs.
Okay.
So I remember you came up and you told me we'd got this referral and you'd printed out the email.
I printed out the email, yeah.
And she was big. She was 8 pounds born, which is big, especially for a Guatemalan baby. And then you had to go back and see more students. So I was to go back in an hour. So the kind of most momentous news of my of our lives had just happened. And
the thing is, it takes so long for something like that to sink in that you might as well go back and see students, because it takes days to process that information.
Whereas I kind of went to the nearest hotel and rang everybody and told them immediately, and then was knocking on your door at about 45 minutes later.
And
So I came to your office and we took a deep breath and opened these photographs.
Beautiful thing.
So the photographs of Natalie, there was about 8 of them, wasn't there? And she was, I think my initial amazement was, she was a newborn baby, so she was tiny, but she was really sturdy.
Yeah.
And she was beautiful, really dark, and she had red cheeks, didn't she? And the shock of black hair.
Yeah.
She had this yellow outfit on, didn't she?
And I guess it's a beautiful moment, and then almost immediately you start panicking. How long will it take before we can hold her? And every day, you're suffering. It's, you know, another day that I'm not spending with a baby. She's one day older, and we're still on the other side of the world.
But at least, as opposed to kind of some other countries, that we had a photograph every month.
Oh yeah.
So it was 5 months until we actually travelled to adopt her. But each month we had another photograph, and it's amazing the amount of kind of investment that you put in those photographs, in terms of trying to understand what's going to happen to you and seeing this child. And I think especially for a first child, there's so much that you hold back, or certainly for me, that I wouldn't allow, even though we had this referral and we were going through the process of adopting her, I wouldn't fully let myself believe that she was going to come home until we were literally travelling to see her, and we bought a cot. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I just put all the cot together, and I put the mattress in, and I remember just kind of standing there staring at it. And it was actually that process of kind of putting the cot together that kind of made you really understand that it was kind of that it was going to happen.
In October 2005, a quiet and immaculately dressed foster family hand me a five-month-old baby girl in the foyer of the Marriott Hotel in Guatemala City.
You could feel that we were at the edge of something very momentous, but not really quite knowing what it was. There's something quite incredible about being at a stage in your life when you know there is going to be a momentous change. Becoming a parent just changes everything.
After 4 years of trying to become an adoptive family and a dozen more of wanting to be a mother, I couldn't really process what was happening. This small, beautiful girl with her shock of black hair was our daughter. Registering my new status as mother would take me months. Such moments would come at me sideways as I watched this strong, gorgeous child rock on her limbs and begin to crawl, as I sang to her slowly, "Oh, la, la, preciosa, la, preciosa, hola."
Yo sé lo que son los encantos, tierra de mi amor, de mi Borinquen hermosa.
My name is Natalie, and I went to a party yesterday, but not yesterday, before yesterday. And I went to school, and I have a little book, and it's called The Secret Room. And it's from my school, and we're just having them for a week.
Are you five all over, or maybe your knees are still four?
No, I'm five all over.
Okay.
I have brown hair, and I have all different kinds of dresses. And even have a scary pumpkin. And it's out in the window, out there.
Preciosa te llaman los bardos que cantan tu historia.
The thing about adoption is that it isn't just the parents that adopt the child, but the wider family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. I married an Italian.
Buongiorno.
Hello.
Good morning.
So our Guatemalan children were also adopted by a gang of thrilled Italians.
It's a bella.
Good morning. Ciao, piccolino. Good morning. How are you?
This is Vittorio's sister, Isabella, and her husband, Raffaello.
Here's a filly, you see them?
Sì.
Sì?
Ma poi, ma sai che... Poi sono disceso anche. Ma fino all'orizzonte si vede le stelle. Cioè, fino all'orizzonte si vede le stelle.
Jacopo, take it.
Come with us,
Lee.
Come, give it a kick. You go, Vittorio. Whoa!
Oh, that's a big one.
Whoa!
Thank you, Jacopo. Ok, Jacopo, io throw it to us and we throw it to you. Lui dice che poi bisogna ritirarlo a lui.
Con toda palabra, con toda sonrisa, con toda mirada.
When my daughter is 10 months old, I open an email which says that her birth mother is 6 months pregnant and can't keep her baby. The agency asks if we would be interested in adopting the child, and something in my belly pit turns over as I hold my daughter close. After he is born and given up, it takes us 27 months to adopt him. We filled in forms and then we filled them in again. We were cleared by police forces in 3 countries, and then we were cleared again, and then again. We took bundles of documents to Dublin and marched to the forecourts and then to the Department of Foreign Affairs. We took the same documents to London, to the Irish Embassy, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, and the Guatemalan Embassy. And then we did it again. And then we waited. We waited whilst one president of Guatemala left office hurrying through a new adoption law. We waited as another president implemented it. We waited as nothing happened, and then we waited some more. We hoped and waited and waited and hoped, but mostly we waited. Whilst we wait, our daughter learns to run and sing and begins to understand that she has a brother.
Con toda caricia me acerco al fuego que todo lo quema.
We, we'd always said that we'd like to adopt 2 children, and we assumed that the second child wouldn't be related to the first child. And the birth mother was scanned, and we got this email again, not asking, telling us it was a girl. And we were both, that's great, brilliant, you know, it's a girl. And of course, when he was born, he was a boy. So we had this bizarre reaction. We were kind of like, oh, oh. It took us like, well, that's fine, that's fine.
So we got an email saying it's born and it's a boy and we need a name within the next few hours because we need the name
to register.
To register.
That wasn't on our agenda to name the child, and it felt like such a huge, momentous thing. And if you're birth parents, then most birth parents spend months and months like kind of agonizing over the name, and we had 12 hours. So
Jacobo is the name of a famous, arguably the most famous president of Guatemala from the 1940s, Jacobo Guzman Arbenz. So that's where the name comes from. And of course, after we gave the name and it was named Jacobo, we got another email saying, we forgot to tell you that the birth mother actually left the name.
Called him Matthew.
Called him Matthew. So Matthew is the second.
Yeah.
So it's Jacobo Matthew.
Yeah. Whereas Natalie is the name that her birth mother gave her, and we gave her Maya as her middle name.
Me acerco al fuego que todo lo quema, la luz de tu cara, la luz de tu cuerpo, la luz de tu cara.
Our daughter's brother was born and named in August 2006. For the following 12 months, we waited to be assessed by the HSE, and once we had our approval, it took another 15 months before we travelled. The last year was dominated by powerful uncertainty. We literally thought we might be travelling at any time. Eventually, in November 2008, we travelled to adopt him. When Jacobo is 8 months old, we fly to Guatemala to visit for the first time. It is Palm Sunday at the foster family's church. and everywhere there are crowds of people carrying full-sized palms, and there is colour and noise. We wait, bewildered and jet-lagged. And then suddenly Tony, the foster mother, is here before me, and in her arms is a baby boy. But there is no time to ponder this moment of meeting our child for the first time, because he is safely in the arms of his foster mother, and we are late. During the service, we are distracted by trying to keep Natalie, our nearly two-year-old, from causing too much havoc. We try to follow the service, but we are lost in all kinds of ways. A year later, we visit again when he is 20 months old, and in September 2008, I visit alone for a week of playing cars in the street and blowing bubbles, and one precious night when he sleeps beside me. When we finally travel to Guatemala in November 2008 to adopt him, it is a flurry of chasing paperwork and taxis to Tony and Freddy's and big meals and disbelief. So that when we leave, he is quietly in the car when his foster mother and I hold each other and weep.
There are many people in this family. There's Jules and I, and then there's the birth mother, but then there's also the foster family. I mean, the sacrifice they made of really loving a child for 2.5 years, and then someone takes him away. Again, you know, we really owe a lot to them.
I remember cleaning my teeth in the bathroom and just tears flooding down my face, because after 2.5 years we were within hours of getting on a plane, and I still couldn't really believe it. And I still had to do the leave taking with the foster mother. And Tony bathed him and dressed him that morning, and he was in the car. And again, we'd both imagined hysterics, because he was so attached to the foster family. And instead of which, he went happily in the car with the foster father and with Vittorio. And then I went back to say goodbye to Tony. And she was on the phone to her mother, and she was gesturing me just to go. And I wouldn't. And I waited until she was off the phone. And we just hugged each other. And but I suppose that's just one of those moments in your life where I feel like, hard as it was, that it was one of those times where I was kind of in the heat of what I was doing. I kind of really braved it. And I knew that she knew that it was the best thing, that Jacopo needed to grow up with his sister and that we had adopted him and so forth. But I also knew that who he is at that point was to do with how much love they'd given him. And there's no roadmap for that moment where, you know, people say you've only got one mother. My kids have three. They have a birth mother, they have this extraordinary foster mother, and they have me and us.
I mean, you know, in this adventure, you meet the most extraordinary people.
Hoy día luna, día pena, hoy me levanto sin razón, hoy me levanto y no quiero, hoy día luna, día pena.
Jacopo has been home with us for nearly 2 years now, and it's hard to remember what it was like before he was part of our family. He's a boisterous, busy four-year-old, and a bit impatient with this radio business.
Okay, Jaco, can you tell me about your weekend?
One day we went the beach. One day we take. I had enough. Then now it's Natalie's turn.
All right, then send her in. Come on then, that's the end of Yaku's interview. Okay, come on then, in you come. See you in a minute. Okay, your own scooter. Where's your scooter, Yaku?
I have a car.
Hey, hey, listen. You asked Natalie for a turn and she said no. Off you get.
Then I have a turn.
Do you want to go into your bedroom, Jakob? Right, okay, now go and get your own scooter.
I'll come in where it is.
It's in the kitchen.
The sense of responsibility that comes with adopting is considerable. I have nothing to compare it with, so I don't know what it feels like to be a parent of a birth child and whether one has the same sense of responsibility. But it's something that I was conscious of. And that was something that was very much both at the back and at the front of my mind, because you really go out of your way to bring this child across the world and into your family. And the sense of responsibility that comes with that choice is great, not only because of what you're doing to that child, but because there is a birth mother in this world. So as any parent, I want the best for my children, and I want it for them, and I also want it for the birth mother. There's a sense in which you almost wish that the world was different and no one was in a position where they had to give up their child. There is an injustice there. And of course, we're the beneficiary of this. What's black and white is that we are the parents. That cannot be reversed, and rightly so. Beyond that, the brutality of that legal statement, there is a gray area. And it's the first thing that I say to people about what is it like. And I say, you're just reminded every day of how lucky you are to be able to adopt.
I think that's what's so poignant about adoption. I suppose it's a powerful part of our lives, which is that your extraordinary, unbelievable joy is somebody else's unbelievable loss. And it's important to live your lives daily and take joy and pleasure in it. But I also think that we have an incredible responsibility not to forget that.
Me first, Professor. Me first. Do me first.
No, I'm doing me first.
Ah. Second.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
It's interesting the reaction that people have when you tell them, or when they realize, which is quite obvious, that our children are adopted. And one of the cliches is for people to say, oh, your children are so lucky that they have this new life and with all the benefits of a middle-class family in a rich industrialized world. And of course, my response is always, no, it's the other way around. We are the lucky ones. We're the lucky ones. We are lucky that we're in a position that we can adopt a child. But it's interesting that you have to sort of tell people what is so obvious to me. I don't know if my children are lucky or not to have us, but certainly I'm extremely lucky to have been in a position where I was able to adopt them.
Is yours good, Nessie?
Yeah, delicious.
Marvelous.
Thank you, Mum. Thank
you, Mum. There is an issue that I've raised with another father of an unadopted child. I said, you probably think that I'm mad, but I actually think that if you adopt a child, you love them in a different way, and I actually think you love them even more because they're adopted. And I said, is that crazy? And he said, you know, I've always felt the same, and I never felt comfortable to share that thought with anyone else. Now, this could be that we're in a club of two, but the love that I'm saying is more is connected to what I was saying before about that extra responsibility that one feels.
The kids are singing Let's Go Fly a Kite obsessively, scootering around our kitchen table singing their song. I think of the giant kites flown in Santiago, Guatemala, on La Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, some of them 6 metres wide, hauled skywards by a gaggle of cheering Guatemalans above graves drenched in marigold petals. These kites connect wandering spirits to the earth, the living with the dead. I hope one day my children will know the difference between these stories and make their own kites to connect with their children as well as their ancestors.
It wasn't long ago that we looked back and we thought, wow, we started on this journey and it's actually completed. When Jacopo got his passport, and that was the day when actually the whole process ended, and we pulled it off.
Now we just got to bring him up.
Yes, exactly. But there was a real sense of both relief and achievement in a sense, because you set off on something that it's just as well that we didn't really know what we're getting ourselves into. We knew it was going to be difficult, but and we knew it was going to be long. We didn't know it was going to be so long and so trying. And when it's finished, they kind of, I don't like to use the word, to be proud, but
there is that sense. I remember
a sense of really having achieved something. It's difficult as it was and long as it was. Obviously, I would do it all over again, but I also recommend it. I often tell people to consider adoption, because the rewards, obviously, are so much greater than all the sort of, in a sense, when you look back, the petty costs. So it is something that I sort of strongly believe in. I like the fact that our kids are clearly adopted, because it's something that I am proud of. And they're clearly not our birth children, so people know it as soon as they see us. And there's a side of me who actually I do like that.
You get these smiles, actually. Where was I today? I was just at the swimming pool kind of running through. There's just a particular kind of knowing smile that I get. sometimes people see us. And it's nice. It's generous. It's a kind of, well done. Look at them. In all its complexity, we're just a mum and dad with a couple of kids and they're bloody gorgeous.
1, 2. Oh. Oi! Let's try again. Ready?
Okay, Yaku's turn. Shall we count and you do the DD?
1, 2.
Ready? And.
1, 2, 1. Ready now. 1, 2.
If you enjoyed this documentary, you might like to listen to our other Documentary on One productions. Visit rte.ie/docon1.